grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to sit right here and ask Penny to please sit up, or Madeline, please. Chloe, come on over here. Come on over here, girls. Right here. If you were going on a trip, turn and look at me. If you were going on a trip and you, what would you take with you? What
would you probably take? Clothes and a toothbrush.
Clothes and a toothbrush. Good idea. I heard one of my friends took their son to confirmation camp, and the first thing he said when he got back home is, "I didn't brush my teeth once all week long. I don't want that stinky kid in my car." What else would you take? What would you put in your suitcase? What else do you need?
A dog cage.
A dog cage? Because you're going to take a dog. So
no, we're going to go there.
A hairbrush. Okay, some things to keep yourself clean you're going to need. And you're going to need some clothes.
I would take my clothes and my bear.
And your bear, of course. You have to take your bear. Well, listen to this. Jesus sent his...
I would take...
Oh, hey, your jammies too. Jesus sent his disciples to go out and to go to preach and to travel to different towns. And this is what he said to them to take. Take nothing for your journey except a staff. A walking stick. So take a walking stick. Don't take anything else. No bread, no bag. No money. You can wear sandals, but don't take two shirts. Don't put on two shirts. How are they going to manage? How do you think they would
find stuff in the wild?
They could find stuff in the wild, like what? You mean like berries and stuff to eat?
Yeah.
Okay. But
and
what?
Go
if,
to
what else?
A farm.
They could knit. Without money, they could maybe, like, find stuff and trade it in.
Oh, find stuff and trade it in. Well, do you know what Jesus told them? They had to rely on the kindness of their neighbors. So when they went to somebody's house, those people in that house would welcome them and give them what they needed. What Claire was talking about was Central City Lutheran Mission, where people come with nothing, they rely on the goodness of their neighbors. And we help them. We send them money to help them to buy the things that they need for those people that don't have anything. And it all started with Jesus telling his disciples that and telling us when we get baptized to share in that ministry. So when you go off to Sunday school now, you will hear something about the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Miss Penny, would you carry the Bible up and then leave it in the back room?
A reading from 2 Samuel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the Milo inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Word of God, word of life. Let us praise Psalm 48 responsibly. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised in the city of our God on the Lord's holy mountain.
Beautiful and lofty, the joy of all the earth, is on Zion, the son of the Lord, and the city of the great King.
God is in the citadels of Jerusalem, revealed to be the sure refuge of the city. As they looked, they were astounded. Dismayed, they fled in terror.
Trembling on the seas under there, they cried out like a woman child over.
With an east wind, you shattered them like the ships of Tarshish.
As you have heard, so have you seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, may God establish it forever.
In the midst of your temple, O God, we meditate on your steadfast love.
Your praise, like your name, O God, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness.
Let Mount Zion be glad and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments.
Make the servant of Zion walk round about it, count the number of the city's towers.
Consider well its ramparts. Examine its strongholds, that you may tell those who come after.
Mark this, God is our God forever and ever, guiding us even to the end.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Word of God, word of life. The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Last week when I read this passage about Jesus being rejected by his hometown, I was in Ireland, and I came to the conclusion that Jesus' hometown could not have been in Ireland. The Irish are so proud of their hometown mates. There is a statue of Charlie Chaplin in the little town in the county of Kerry. And Charlie Chaplin had a vacation house there that he visited about 8 times. But they're proud of their hometown boy. There's a statue of Father Matthew who went to seminary in Dublin. He was a temperance advocate, very unsuccessful in his attempts to get the people of Dublin to stop drinking. But they are very proud of their hometown boy. I guess they are proud of the fact that he was so strongly convinced, even though they didn't agree at all with his convictions. There's another temperance advocate who is honored in Dublin, actually all over the world, Matt Talbot. He's venerated as a saint, not only in Dublin, where he's buried. I saw his grave, and the statue of Matt Talbot has... the base of it is littered with bottles. built into the statue, not other bottles. These prophets did have honor in their hometowns, but not while they were alive. Matt Talbot couldn't get anybody to buy him a drink. He was going from pub to pub. He worked in a distillery, and he was known to sample the wares. And so by the middle of the day, he was already reeling. But he would go from pub to pub. And the Irish tradition is that you go into the pub and you buy everybody there the first round. And then you stay for as long as you want, but everybody buys you beer or pays for your pint. But Matt Talbot, this particular day, could not. He went from pub to pub looking for someone to buy him a pint, and he couldn't find any. No one would buy him a beer. He went home and he told his mother, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to take the pledge for life. Never going to drink again. And she said, maybe you better start with 3 months. See how that goes. And he never drank again. He's dedicated his life to helping other people find sobriety. He was a hometown prophet. Not accepted much when he was there, but later. So I got to thinking about, what is a prophet? We have to put aside our contemporary or normal use of that word and look at what does it mean in the Bible, the prophet. So in the Greek, it means one who speaks on behalf of. A prophet speaks on behalf of God as God's messenger and on behalf of those who have no one to speak for them, giving a voice to the voiceless. In the biblical language, the voiceless were the widows and orphans, the poor, the outcasts, the strangers in the land. Today, we would change those words and talk about the homeless, the addicted, those in prisons and detention facilities, immigrants and migrants, and people with mental illness, the old and the young, and that list can go on and on. A prophet is not a foreteller like we sometimes think of someone, I've got a prophecy and I'll tell you what's going to happen to you in the future. The prophet is not so much telling, foretelling, as forthtelling. If we go back to the Hebrew root of the word, Navi, it means one who sees. The biblical sense of seeing means understanding. We use that. If I tell you something, you say, oh yeah, I see. We're not talking about vision. We're talking about comprehension. So we say, I see. I see what you're saying. I get it. People who are prophets get it about God's truth and then tell it. They see the connection between what's going on around them and what God's kingdom looks like. God is doing something, and the prophet is the one who helps us to say, oh, I see. We need voices of prophets today more than ever. There's a lot of voices claiming to speak the truth. We have 24-hour news stations. We have alerts on our phones. We have access to all kinds of news all the time. There is no shortage of people interpreting that news and telling their vision. But on the other hand, we need more people who are welcoming, not rejecting, the words of the true prophets. Jesus sent out his disciples and told them to be prophets. And you and I, who are the baptized, are included in that sent out group. When we entered the life of grace through baptism, we were anointed into the body of Christ to be forth-tellers, to be prophets. That means seeing what God is up to in the world and then telling that out. It means living as people of God are meant to live. We are prophets when our lifestyle reflects an alternative to the easy conformities of our culture. We are prophets when we hear the word of God and respond to it. We are prophets when we stand up for what we believe as Christians. We are prophets when we stand up for those who are unable to stand up for themselves. This is what it means when we say, God's work, our hands. We are prophets, seeing what God is up to in the world and responding to that. Through baptism, we are invited into a partnership with God, a partnership that makes holy all of our daily activities and our actions in the world. God shares with us that ministry of reconciliation and healing. And that means that every day, we have the opportunity to be channels of grace and mercy to the people in this world that so desperately need grace and mercy. Sometimes I think we forget just how much our words and actions matter. Not as works that earn us God's favor, but as a response to God's holy invitation. God has chosen us in baptism, not only for eternal life, but for life right now, here and now. Every day, we have a choice between resisting God's activity and partnering with God's work for the world, this world that God loves so very much. Our words and actions matter. Our acts of kindness and compassion are holy, and our moments of unkindness and indifference are tragic. What we do matters. And thanks be to God for equipping us and sending us out to be prophets, to be agents of grace. In this Gospel of Mark, we hear that Jesus sent out the disciples who have seen the mighty works of God in Jesus. And they've also seen him get rejected. They watched him heal the sick and cast out demons. They watched him feed the multitudes and even raise the dead. But they've also seen him questioned by the religious leaders. They saw him called crazy by his family. And they saw him stunned by the lack of acceptance and belief in his hometown. But the rejections did not overshadow the former. These disciples went as they were sent and did as they were instructed, preaching and teaching and healing the sick. But I want you to think about that aspect of sending, which is especially important. First of all, the disciples are sent. They're authorized by Jesus. The very heart of their mission is that call to be Jesus, to be for him, to be about the work that he did. Not only did they get their direction from him, but he also gave them the power to do the same mighty acts that he has done. This is about the power of God. It's not about the disciples. This is about God. It's not about us. We would do well to remember that. Before anything else, we are a Christian community gathered and graced by Jesus Christ. While we are a fellowship and a place of much activity, we can never forget that we are a people who are sent. Important words every Sunday that the deacon proclaims at the close of worship. That's not just an amen. It is our being sent. Go. Serve. You are sent. A second feature of this sending, Jesus says, travel light. Don't let your possessions weigh you down. A number of people on this pilgrimage in Ireland had these huge suitcases that they could hardly lug across the doorway to the elevator. And I wondered, 8 nights, what the heck do you have in that suitcase? Huge suitcases. This one couple each had a great big. I was wondering what they had in those bags. But it isn't just the exterior stuff that Jesus is talking about. That's not what really weighs us down. It's the interior stuff that weighs us down. Those hurts and grudges that we refuse to release. Those righteous opinions and attitudes that keep us stuck. It's the interior stuff that is too heavy to bear, but we try to lug it all through our lives. Another aspect of this being sent is that the reality of rejection must be taken seriously. The disciples do not go out with a promise that every listener is going to repent. They shouldn't be surprised or discouraged when doors are slammed in their faces. That happened to Jesus. It will happen to the disciples. Should we expect anything different? Now, Ireland was a totally pagan country until the 5th century when Patrick arrived, a foreigner, an immigrant. Now, Ireland is well over 90% Christian. But Patrick received a lot of rejection in his preaching. But he persisted, ultimately converting an entire nation. You have to expect some rejection along the way. If you've ever hiked along the Missouri River or any other place that has that rich red clay, you'll get this illustration that I'm about to give. Don and I had a cabin up on the bluff on the Missouri River and in north central South Dakota. It was a great view, distant from everything, way up on the bluff. No electricity, no water, no internet, no cell service. There wasn't even a road for a mile. You had to park at the bottom of the pasture road, crawl over a fence, and then a lovely hike on the rolling hills up to the cabin. Lovely hike unless the ground was wet. If the ground was the least bit damp, that red clay made itself known. Your boot would sink in about an inch, and as you walked, that clay clung to your boot, and then the clay clung to the clay, and after about 5 steps, you'd have to stop. Every 5 steps, you'd have to stop and scrape off that clay so that you could keep going. Otherwise, your boots would be this big and very heavy. A lovely walk, unless it's wet. I thought about that clay and about Jesus' instruction to his disciples, shake off the dust that is on your feet. Like a lot of what Jesus says, sometimes it's a lot harder than it sounds. Sometimes the dust that clings to us is more like that Red River clay. When you find rejection or when you are so worn out, even the dust is heavy. Take courage. You aren't alone. Persist. We are called and sent, but maybe it is even more important to remember that we are graced and empowered. God invites us to be God's hands at work in the world. You are invited to a life of holiness rooted in the simple acts of kindness that are on one hand so very ordinary that they are easily overlooked and yet so extraordinary in the difference that it makes to those around you. God does more than invite and send. God also blesses. God blesses you to be a blessing to others. God works through you, to love and to bless and care for the world. Thank you for the ways that you are responding to those blessings. And reach out your hands to God's beloved in the world. You are blessed to be a blessing. Amen.